Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Seeing flashes of light, blurry vision, sudden eye pain, what do these symptoms actually mean, and when should you be concerned? In this episode of This Week in America, I sit down with renowned ophthalmologist Dr. John C. Barber, author of Hey Doc, What's Wrong with My Eye? A practical and easy-to-understand guide to eye health designed for everyday people. With over 40 years of experience, Dr. Barber breaks down common eye symptoms like floaters, double vision, vision loss, and explains what they could signal from minor issues to serious conditions like glaucoma, cataracts, macular degeneration, and retinal detachment. Dr. Barber has dedicated his career to making complex medical topics simple and understandable so you can take control of your eye health with confidence. What your eye symptoms are trying to tell you. Dr. John C. Barber, author of Hey Doc, What's Wrong with My Eye, is our guest on This Week in America. Doctor, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us today.
My pleasure to be here. Thank you.
You've done a wonderful job in this book in taking things we're all concerned about, breaking it down in non-medical language so we as laymen can understand what's going on and if we need to be concerned. What was it that inspired you to write this book?
Well, I was at a cocktail party for Bastille Day at the Carnegie Museum, and three people during that party came up to me and said, "Hey, Doc, what's wrong with my eye? Can you look at it?" And I always followed up a disclaimer that I didn't have the right equipment with me, but I'd be glad to look at it and tell them what I thought. So I decided I need to write a book to tell people what's wrong with their eyes.
They gave you the idea and the title for the book all at the same time. That worked out very well. Yes. I can see them going up and doing that. There's a doctor over there. I've got this problem with floaters. I'm going to go talk to him. I mentioned floaters very briefly in the beginning. What are some of the symptoms that you address in the book? Because it really is comprehensive.
Well, it's everything from pain in the eye to loss of vision, acute loss, or slow gradual loss, and what happens when you see double. And just common eye symptoms that I saw every day in the office. People would come in and say, "What's wrong?" And I'd try to find out and fix it.
John C. Barber, Dr. John C. Barber, our guest on the program. His website is johncbarber.com. Book available wherever books are sold. He's got two other books that we'll talk about as well on the program. All those information on his website. Of course, go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, find information there. Let's talk about some of the common diseases that you have to deal with that people are concerned about. Let's talk about cataracts to begin with. What are some of the common symptoms of cataracts? What should we be looking for?
Well, the first sign that you're getting a cataract is that suddenly you can see up close without bifocals or added glasses. That's a change in the lens, which increases light bending and makes you nearsighted. And we say grandma can read the Bible without glasses now. She's getting a cataract. Then things start to get hazy. Fine print becomes hard to read. And you get glare and headlights at night. And just mostly decreased vision. And when you get to 20/40, you're not supposed to drive anymore. So that's one of the indications for taking a cataract out. The other is if you don't need fine vision or double good vision like an airplane pilot, you can put off taking the cataract out until it really bothers you. And I suggest you do that because although cataract surgery is one of the safest, best outcome surgery we have, we still have problems with it sometimes. And you don't want to put the eye at risk until you need it. So yeah, it's a matter of getting used to it a little bit. Sometimes you get a cataract in one eye and not in the other eye, at least at first, and you can get along just fine without that other eye. So it varies a lot.
I went through cataract surgery, started with one eye, and then a couple of years later had a follow-up on the second eye. I was amazed. I didn't realize how bad my eye was till I went through cataract surgery, and suddenly I'm seeing again. I mean, the colors are vibrant. It's like unlocking a whole new world, isn't it? You don't realize in some cases how bad the eye had become.
Well, the cataract lens actually filters out certain colors of light, mostly blue. People tell me after they've had the cataract out, they really can see blue beautifully, and the colors are much sharper. And that's because of the filtration of the light by the cataract. And so people would often have one cataract taken out and say, well, I want to have the other one done right away. So, you know, it sees so much better.
Yeah, I waited a couple of years, and what was amazing, same doctor, I went back, and it was different the second time. The first time I left, and I had the big bandage on my eye and had to leave it for, I forget, a couple of days, and they took it off. This one, the second time, I didn't have that, and I was able to gradually see that. It really had advanced. As cataract surgery's continuing to advance, it was much easier the second time than it was the first time.
Oh, it has changed remarkably in the last several decades. We have a system now where we can take out the lens. It's a 10 millimeter size lens. We take it out through a 3 millimeter size hole because we grind it up and take it out and leave the capsule, the outer coating of the lens, and we now put implant lenses into that capsule. And so you see normally. In the old days, you had to have very thick glasses, and they made everything much larger. You had to get used to it. The steps were different, and just walking around was different. When you turn your head, it magnified so much that more than reality had to go past you, so it made you dizzy. And now with the implant lens, the vision is relatively normal in size and shape, and it's much, much improved. The British scientists discovered that the people that were in the bomber turrets on the big planes and bombing Europe, sometimes they got hit and you got shattered pieces of the plastic that the lens, the windows were made out of. And that plastic was really hardened plastic. And the eye could tolerate it as well. They found little pieces of it in the eye and no reaction at all to it. So they decided to make a lens out of it to put in the eye when they took the original cataract lens out. And that created a whole different situation for cataract operations.
Amazing
either
story.
Had a contact lens or a thick glass before they had that. Now with the implant lens, everything's back to normal.
Well, it made a big difference the second time. First time was fine. Second one was like, wow, I almost wish I had a third eye to go back in again, because it really made a significant difference. Our guest on the program is Dr. John C. Barber. He is the author of Hey Doc, What's Wrong With My Eye? We're talking about some of the common diseases, problems people have. Another one you hear often, retinal detachment. And something I went through, it was a tear, not a detachment, but I went back to the eye doctor, and they were very concerned about making sure this was diagnosed properly. What are some of the common symptoms for retinal detachment?
Well, the classic one is flashes of light and dark floaters in your eye. And that comes from the tugging of the jelly, the vitreous in the eye, tugs on the retina. And the retina can only say light. It can't say ouch. So you see flashes of light and they tear a hole, and that creates more stimulus to the retina, which is more light. And then sometimes it bleeds, and that causes little black spots that float around in your eye. So flashes and floaters. Another one is, looks like you got a curtain in your vision, and that's the retina that's coming off. You don't see well with it. And it looks like a curtain or a shadow. And I was at a party one time helping serve the wine, and my co-host would say, well, what happens when you have these flashes of light and floaters? I said, you should go see your ophthalmologist tomorrow and get your retina detachment fixed. So And he did, and he said he had a big detachment, and they fixed it, and everything went fine.
I remember when I realized I need to get a hold of the doctor. I'm driving, and it was like a flock of birds that were out in front of me. And there, of course, were no birds. It was just all of these floaters, and all this was impairing my vision, and went and realized it was torn and it being monitored since then. Our guest on the program, Dr. John C. Barber. Hey, Doc, what's wrong with my eye? Book available wherever books are sold. His website is johncbarber.com. Let's talk about some of the systemic impacts that people may not think are related to eyes. Signs of diabetes, for example. How does that impact the vision, and what should people be watching for?
Well, people with diabetes will often have a visual change, blurriness, 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, all of a sudden you get blurred vision. Then it goes away after a little while. And that's just the blood sugar influence on the contents of the eye, and it changes the focus. So they get blurred vision. And they'll sometimes see spots in their vision from hemorrhages in the eye. And they lose vision. They get edema, swelling of the retina, especially in the central area. And that makes everything go blurry. So blurred vision is probably the most common early sign of diabetes. People with high cholesterol and diabetes will get cholesterol deposits on a retina, and that blocks the vision. And that makes everything blurry, or they have a dark spot in their vision.
So. Yeah. Hey, Doc, what's wrong with my eye is the name of the book by Dr. John C. Barber, our guest on the program. Talk about glaucoma. This is something that is tested for every time you go in for a regular exam is glaucoma. I always wink more frequently than I should during the course of the testing and drive them crazy every time I go in. What are the signs of glaucoma, and what should we be watching for?
One of the problems with glaucoma is there are very few signs early in the disease. And when you start seeing the signs, you're pretty far along. You've lost some of the optic nerve, and some of the layers of the retina are affected by glaucoma. And so I recommend that you go in and have that test done every year to look for glaucoma and catch it early. It's much easier to treat when it's early and in the advanced stages. And once you've lost your vision with glaucoma, it's very hard to get it back.
You mentioned early detection there. How important is that? I would think in everything we're talking about today, early detection is really a key.
Yes, I think that's probably true. I've seen people with early detection, people with late detection. Late people have usually lost a lot of their optic nerve, and it doesn't come back. And so it's good to catch it early before you've lost it. The whole thing involves pressure in the eye, and the pressure pushes on the retina and on the optic nerve. And the optic nerve comes through a hole in the back of the eye, and it gets pushed back through that hole, and the nerve gets pinched, and it dies out. And whether it's the circulation or there's actually a circulation within nerves of a plasma, and that can be wiped out. And so it's very, very important to get it early.
How about, this is something else that I'm paying close attention to now, but I'm doing a checklist of all my optical problems. What problems are associated with age-related macular degeneration? I understand that I've got a very slowly progressing case of that. First of all, I want to ask you if it is slow, if that's possible to be slowly progressing. But what problems are related to age-related macular degeneration? How crucial is it that we catch this early?
Well, it's very important to catch it early because there is treatment for macular degeneration. It involves injections into the eye of a stimulus for the vascular system in the eye. And the pigment in the eye starts to migrate into the retina. That's how we can tell you're getting it. You also have things on the nerve called drusen, which are little bodies that form in this disease. And that's one of the early signs. So if you see the ophthalmologist and he looks in there and sees drusen, he's going to suspect the macular degeneration. Now, the first sign of it usually is you look across the table, the person sitting there, and you look at their face and it kind of disappears, but you can still see their hair. You can see their necktie. You can see everything around that. But right in the middle of vision, it's blank. And that makes it possible if you have macular degeneration, you can walk through a room full of furniture, not bump into anything because you see all the peripheral vision, but not the central vision. There's a form of macular degeneration called geographic atrophy, and that the disease spreads through the rest of the retina. You can actually go completely blind with it, but that's an unusual complication of it. But I have people here. I live in a senior living, and they always ask me if there's something new for macular degeneration because they have it. So, and there are treatments being sought. Experimental things with gene changes. They're still experimental. They aren't available for the general public, but they're working on it. So there is some hope for these people.
The book is a fascinating read, broken down for all of us to understand, and will answer many of our questions. Hey, Doc, what's wrong with my eye? The book is written by John C. Barber, MD. His website, johncbarber.com. What happens when an eye muscle is weak? We hear that maybe more frequently now than before. What does that mean?
Well, usually you start seeing double. The brain has a very complex mechanism of lining up both eyes. And if a muscle is weak and it sends a message to it to move the eye, it doesn't move it far enough. And so you see double, especially if you're looking off to the side or up and down. You'll notice the double vision. The central vision is easiest to put the two eyes together. But if you got a weakness, if there's a damage to the nerve, to that muscle, such as happen in diabetes and high blood pressure and ocular tumors, it won't line up right. And you can have surgery to tighten it, and that may help. If it's a nerve damage, it's very hard to get it really straight. If it's just weakness in the muscle, we can remedy that. We can move the muscle and make it tighter, make it work better.
You also have a section in the book where you talk about children's eye diseases. Talk about that. We see more children that are having problems, and the problems are being corrected now than I can remember, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago. Talk about that and what parents should be looking for and the importance of getting to an eye doctor very soon.
Well, the main thing is crossed eyes. They develop. So
yes.
You've been born with them. They can develop during childhood. And if one eye is looking at something other than the other eye, it will turn itself off. When it turns itself off, you lose the connections in the brain. And so it's very important to get these things fixed before the child is 6 or 7 years old. After that, they can't get the connections back. You see children with eye patches, and that's patching the good eye to make them use the bad eye to force those connections back into the brain. And it actually works. And when you get close, you have to patch one eye for one time and another the other eye so that the second eye doesn't get lazy. And so it has to be done at an early age, usually around 3 to 5, that they would fix those things. And it means that we have to wait for the child to be able to undergo anesthesia well and not be a risk. And so we wait till they get old enough to do that, but we don't want them to get past the age of 7 or 8. Now, if they have cataracts in both eyes when they're born or early age, they don't lose the connections. Both eyes are still working. If we take a cataract out of a teenager that's had this problem since birth, they'll often get their vision back. But just ordinary crossed eyes, they get a lazy eye. And if you can't fix that after about age 7 or 8.
So important for parents to be aware and to follow up when they see something. It just doesn't look right. I mentioned what your eye symptoms are trying to tell us. The The problem with that for most of us is, okay, what are the symptoms trying to tell me? And is it serious enough I need to do something about it? What are some of the biggest mistakes that people make in deciding whether to ignore it or to get it checked out? And I'm sure you've seen that in your practice of over 40 years, many, many times. What are mistakes we make in trying to diagnose ourselves and not getting it done properly?
Well, I wrote this book to kind of help out.
Yes.
To tell you what those symptoms actually mean and whether they're serious or not. And I often recommend in there, if it's serious, you better get to an eye doctor. And, you know, I have a personal preference for ophthalmologists as opposed to optometrists because of the more rigorous training of ophthalmologists.
Yeah, there comes a point when you want more than just a regular eye exam. You need somebody with more training, as the doctor mentioned. Dr. John C. Barber, our guest. The book is available wherever books are sold. Also the author of Examination of the Eye Made Easy and The Joy of 40 Years of Medical Practice, 40 Years of Interesting Patients. Great patient stories in that book. And what a life you were able to lead in touching so many people over 40 years. What's it like when someone comes to you? They have vision problems. Life is not fulfilling for them, as fulfilling as it used to be. And you're able to help them. You're able to basically give them sight back and give them part of their life back. What's that like when you're able to use that expertise that you have and make it life-changing for a patient?
Well, I always viewed my ability to help these people as a God-given talent. I happened to start playing pickup six when I was 5 or 6 years old, and tiddlywinks and all these things. I built model railroads when I was a teenager, and I liked doing fine work, and my hands work. I don't have a tremor when I operate. So that helped me. And I looked at that as a God-given talent. That one of my patients gave me a Barnwood sign that said, "God heals, the doctor takes the fee." And but I had a lot of interesting patients. I was always in academic medicine, medical centers, medical schools, and they got referred interesting patients. So I always had challenging patients. I taught residents. I taught 90 ophthalmologists in my career. And so I didn't really feel bad when I retired that I had trained my replacement 90 times. And so it was a very rewarding career. And I helped a lot of people. I learned to do the system for taking out the jelly in the eye, and diabetics hemorrhage into that and form membranes and then can't see. And I could take those out. Had one patient for 20 years, and I took out his membranes. The next time he came in to see me, he hugged me for like 5 minutes.
Wonderful.
He had seen his daughter for the first time since she was 3 years old.
Wow.
And she was now 23. And she had a one-year-old daughter that he was able to see. And he was just kind of overcome with joy with that outcome. But it was just a technique that had been developed. I learned how to do it. I could do it. I helped people. And that was part of the joy of medical practice, was all those interesting patients and what we could do for them. And the book on 40 years of interesting patients is also more about the patients and what we did for them, but somewhat is how they reacted to what we did for them. And so when I retired, my wife told me she married me for life, but not for lunch. So I should keep busy. And so I started writing books, writing stories, little stories, 5 pages about a patient that I thought was very interesting. And I got up to 100 of those. And I thought, well, if I put them in a book, somebody might read that and be interested in going into the practice of medicine. And so I published the book, and a lot of my friends bought it. And they told me, mostly in that book and then in the "Hey Doc, What's Wrong with My Eye," they told me, "I didn't know so many things could go wrong with your eye." It really frightened them.
When you start reading, it's like, wow, there are a lot of things, and the eyes are obviously crucial, and all of these things that can it can go wrong. A minute or so left in the program. What's it been like during 40 years? And I'm saying 40 years, we've probably seen just breathtaking advancements in medicine, in optical care as well, in particular. What was it like going through this, all of these changes? You mentioned in cataract surgery how that's changed dramatically over the years. What's it been like to be part of that, this revolution and changing of medical procedures?
Well, being at the university, we had to be up on all these things.
Yes.
There's always courses. You could go a weekend course to learn how to do a cataract procedure or learn how to use one of these vitrectomy machines to take out the contents of the eye. And being at the university, we had to keep up with everything. We had journal club every week to review the journal articles that were out. This is for the benefit of the residents, but it also benefited us and the faculty. We were able to keep up with things. We had to keep up with things. We were challenged by the students all the time. And so it was one of those things. You had to know what the current procedures were and how to do them. And we had to teach those. So in order to teach them, we had to learn them. And so we went to a lot of meetings. I always went to the National Academy meeting every year because you could find out what was new. But if you really wanted to find out what was new, you went to the research meeting every year. And you found out what was in the pathways coming along that you would read about in the journal in the next year. But you could learn about them early by going to the research meetings and hear what was going on.
How exciting that all would have to be. And now we introduce the element of AI into the process. What are your thoughts briefly on AI? Is this going to be revolutionary if used properly in really eliminating some of these problems?
Well, we've been using AI for several years in evaluating photographs of the retina. We can take a photograph, a magnified photograph of the retina, and look for things like diabetes and hypertension, things like that, in that photograph. And now they're being analyzed by AI. You feed the photograph to a machine, and it tells you what it sees. And so we look at that. Control of medications are very important with AI. It can immediately tell you all the complications of a medicine, and what medicines it interacts with, and warns you not to put the patient on that medicine or suggests another medicine for the same problem. And that really helps out a great deal.
Amazing times. And this book will really help you. It's a book to have at home. And as you or members of the family going through problems, a chance to look, see what the symptoms are telling you and whether or not you need to go see the doctor. The book is Hey Doc, What's Wrong with My Eye? The other book's written by Dr. Barber, Examination of the Eye Made Easy. And the book we talked about for a few seconds there, the Joy of 40 Years of Medical Practice, 40 Years of Interesting Patients. All of these available wherever books are sold. Dr. Barber's website is johncbarber.com. Book available there, information there, a link directly to his website on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Doctor, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. So much information, so much good that you've done, and you've got 20 of you running around out there now that's carrying on this legacy. What a legacy that you have left. Thank you for sharing this with us on the program today.
Well, thank you.
You are most welcome. The book is available wherever books are sold, and you can listen to this podcast and many more on platforms including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, and many more. Available as well, YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, and beyond. And my thanks to Levitt Peak Press, where words come to life. Their website is levittpeakpress.com.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.